Michael Cohen with the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
This is the 1320 WILS Capital City Recap. I'm Michael Cohen. Thank you for joining us. Well, when it comes to getting control of your eating habits and losing weight, we often view it as a simple matter of an empty stomach and a love for tasting good food. But my next guest says that our belly brain, otherwise known as the enteric nervous system, is far more complex than that. Dr. Gary Epler is the author of the new book, Food, You're the Boss, Put It to Work for You. Dr. Epler, thank you for joining us on WILS.
Hey, it's great to be here, Michael.
So you're feeling hungry. Is it many times it's clearly not an issue of being truly starving since so many of us are overweight, yet you feel this desperate need to eat and eat a lot. Why does that happen and when it's clear that our bodies don't need all that food?
Well, the reason that happens is it's probably just tradition. It's been a process for so long. We just sort of eat all these fancy, these great foods, the carbohydrates and so forth. But the main thing is you can learn not to and use the belly brain.
So you talk about this belly brain. How exactly does it work, and how would you compare it to its wisdom to our actual brain?
All right, well, here it is. It is the enteric system. That's the sort of fancy word. And it has more nerves, more neurons than the whole spinal cord. And so it's got a ton of messages coming and going, all taking care of all the digestion. And the thing is, Michael, it can talk to you, and you can talk to it.
So how do you listen to it?
Uh-huh. It doesn't speak English, but here we go. Think in terms of some greasy food. What is that? Feel like in the pit of your stomach. That stomach is saying no, my hiss. And then think in terms of a banana, and the stomach calms down. And so it knows the good foods and the bad foods. And so the thing is to listen to it.
But wait, why are so many of us then defying our belly brain?
Because we don't think about it. I don't think we use our mind, and our mind is not strong enough. Our willpower is not strong enough, and we just override it. I think that's the main thing.
So you're saying this belly brain, our digestive system, has clear indications and wants us to know what we should be eating and even tempts us to do so, but many times in the U.S. we are just not listening to it.
That's it. That's exactly it. And on the other hand, we can learn. We can learn about foods, and I think that's in the book I talk about learning about foods, learning about carbohydrates and fats and proteins. And the main thing is to learn about a threshold, and I call it the quantity threshold. And that means that if you eat more than that particular whatever it is, it's going to be harmful. Eating less doesn't hurt. All foods are good. It's a matter of how much, and take carbohydrates. Those are the culprits. If you want to lose that 20, 30 pounds around the belly, carbohydrates, those are the ones. Those are the problems.
I see. I'm talking to Dr. Gary Epler, the author of the new book, Food, Your Boss, You're the Boss, that is, Put It to Work for You. Dr. Epler, I want to veer off slightly because if we're talking about the belly brain and this set of nervous system, this enormous network of nerves that you're talking about, one thing we know in the U.S. and certainly in the U.S. is that there are all these digestive disorders, whether it's heartburn, Crohn's, colitis, IBS. How do these digestive disorders and diseases tie into this belly brain?
Well, many of those disorders are diet related, and it's too much saturated fat. It's too much of the wrong type of carbohydrates. And not enough old-fashioned fiber. It tastes like cardboard, but it really, really works. And fiber is one of those key elements that that's needed. And again, the belly brain knows that. It just knows that fiber is needed.
Okay, so we're talking about food, but what about stress? You say there is a profound effect on digestion that stress has. How exactly is stress worked out in the belly brain and in our digestive tract, and how do we see it reflected there?
Stress is key, it's just important not to be stressful when you eat and sit down with stress. And here's what happens. Stress makes the insulin go up, the hormone insulin go up. That makes the sugar turns to triglycerides, which is sort of inflamed vessels, and it causes cortisol release. And cortisol release is that hormone that adds fat. It stops digestion and adds fat. And so if you sit down to a nice meal, you're stressed, up goes the cortisol level. The digestion system just shuts down because that's the idea of cortisol. It prepares you to fight a battle. And that's where the problem is. And so it's really important to calm down before eating. And there's a real simple way to do that, and we call them belly breaths. Mm. You take your hand over your belly, you take a deep breath, and have the belly go out. And then when you breathe out, have the belly go in. Do that two or three times, absolutely calming.
So are you essentially saying then that, you've got two people eating essentially the same diet, one person is gaining a lot of weight and having all kinds of uncomfortable symptoms, another person appears not to be affected in this way. It's not the diet in those cases. It's essentially a reflection of stress that one person is somehow working through their belly brain.
That'll do it. That will do it. Absolutely.
And so when I do want to go back just one more time to these disorders, because they seem to be everywhere, Crohn's, colitis, and so on. Do you view these really as dietary issues, or are these some kind of stress-related reflections that are being affecting this person's digestive tract specifically?
Well, three things. Number one, some of these disorders are genetic. Some of them are true disorders that are nothing at all to do with diet, but many are not, and those are diet-related and stress-related, and that's a combination.
How about you yourself? Have you struggled with your weight? And what kind of a diet do you eat to, keep your belly brain happy?
That's what you need to do, keep that belly brain happy. I've been lucky all my life. I've never had any weight problem. But I do have to work at it. I really have to work at it. And I just try to choose the right carbohydrates and the right amount. That's really what it amounts to.
We hear.
And,
mm-hmm.
I also exercise a lot.
Exercise. The other side of the coin here.
That's it. Now, you're not going to lose weight exercising, but boy, you can maintain the weight, and that's the key thing.
Now, let me ask you about the actual act of making the transition. I mean, once you've been eating in a healthy fashion and your weight is stable, that's one thing. But this transition of actually losing the weight and shifting away from an unhealthy belly-brain relationship, how do you approach that? Do you need to look at that differently than once you've established a good eating habit?
That's it. It is a habit. It's training the mind. It's absolutely training the mind. Willpower is probably not enough. You just have to train the mind to make the right choices.
Give me recommendations on a typical day. What do you eat, and what do you start the day with? What kind of lunch do you have, and what do you think's a good dinner?
Well, morning, protein and eggs. Eggs are good. The problem, you don't want to load up on carbohydrates in the morning, but eggs, protein.
So people eat eggs, but they eat toast also. You're saying no toast, just the eggs.
Well, small amount of toast. And in Boston, we have they give these little potatoes. I don't know what they do there in Michigan, but they give the potatoes, and those things are a catastrophe, especially in the morning. They just turn to fat. I'll tell you that.
I see the hash browns and so on.
Just substitute fruit. That's fantastic.
That's a small plate of food. So a couple eggs, some fruit. So you hit lunchtime. Is that when you get your grub on?
No. Lunch is usually a sandwich, and there's a thing called it's low sodium chicken, and that's what we get. Just little thin slices of low sodium chicken. It's fantastic. Tastes just as great as any other kind of chicken. But that's usually it, and then some either on toast and mixed with a little avocado, or with Avocado is fine.
Okay, now dinner time. I know there's an issue with eating late at night. That's not a good thing. Do you try to eat before a certain time in the evening? What kind of a dinner are you typically eating?
It is a trick that my wife Joan and I have been doing. I think she started me on it many years ago. Do not eat after 7 o'clock at night. It's just an amazing trick, and it works. It really works. You look at that clock, if it's 7, just don't eat. Whatever you're doing, just don't eat after 7. And that's been really helpful. Otherwise, the meal is usually, again, a chicken or we love spinach and broccoli. We like those two things and just a ton of those.
Do you go to bed at 7:30 at night then?
No, I get up about 5:30 and work out. So I used to go to bed about 10 o'clock.
I see, because really we're talking about, for many people, they might be up till midnight, 5 hours without eating. That would be a bit of a challenge, wouldn't it?
That's tricky. Everybody can decide their own time.
I see.
If it's midnight, then maybe 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock or something. But it really was very helpful for me. It's always been helpful for me.
I see. Well, Dr. Gary Epler, author of the new book, Food, You're the Boss, Put It to Work for You. Dr. Epler, interesting conversation. Thanks for joining us.
Michael, can I say one more thing?
Sure, absolutely.
And you're gonna like this.
Okay.
You can break the rules. I break the rules. Here's three things. Number one, don't do it very often. Number two, watch the quantity. But here's the key. If you break the rules, enjoy it. You can't be stressed out. You can't be feeling guilty. Just enjoy it, because everything will digest very well. It's not going to be harmful.
I like this. I'm going to break the rules tonight, I think. Dr.
Epler,
thanks for joining us on WILS.
Okay, Michael.
We are going to be right back with more. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.